So now I'm going to read to you from Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those who are at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it is my privilege and pleasure, Shelley, come up. I'd like to introduce you. This is Shelley Murphy. There is a small write-up in the bulletin about her, but it says nothing about the depth of her faith, the way that she shares her grace and mercy, the way that she is guided by God to offer real justice in our world. It is such a blessing to call you my friend, and it's a blessing that you are here today to speak to us about Wesley Housing.
I want to start by saying thank you to Janet and thank you to all of you for the opportunity to speak today. In the passage from Matthew, Jesus clearly outlines his expectations of those of us who want to be in relationship with him. Those of us who want to be, this, last night when I was looking at this, I was thinking, I want to be a sheep, not a goat. there's another passage from Isaiah that I want to read to you because it just speaks to the fact that we are called to be in relationship with God through our service. And I just thought it was so amazing that in the story of Jonah, it talked about fasting and what fasting is all about, because that's a little bit of what this passage speaks to. This is Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 10. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all of your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day that's acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of God will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Then you will cry for help, and he will say, Here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. And I think this is powerful because it speaks to how the Bible is our foundation in terms of how we serve the Lord and what that means in our community. We are challenged to provide food for the hungry, clothes for the naked, shelter for those who lack it. And when I look at these stories from 4,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, I think that it's really not so very different from today. You know, the Holy Land was a place of change, and there were newcomers interacting with the people who'd been there for thousands of years, and strife and dissension. And here in Northern Virginia, we live in a region where people have gathered from many places. How many of you here came from someplace else to live here? And yet there are others who were born and raised here. Some of us have plenty, all that we need for a comfortable life. But others are hungry and thirsty without the resources to have a clean place to live, enough food to eat, or adequate medical care for themselves and their children. The biblical mandate to care for the poor is clear throughout the Bible. We are called not only to provide shelter for the poor and the homeless, but to do more, to build community. And that's what Wesley Housing seeks to do. Our stated mission is to build communities of promise. Do this. In 1974, the United Methodist Church in Northern Virginia established what they called an urban consultation. At that time, the church had plenty of resources, and they decided that it was time to look at social justice issues instead of just looking at reinvesting in the buildings and building more churches, but how to really be in ministry with the community. So the consultation sought to identify the needs of Northern Virginia residents and to develop missions that would meet those needs. So they put together 7 task forces to look at child care, youth, crime, transportation, alcohol and drugs, ageism, and housing. Our founder, Virginia Peters, was a member of the housing task force. She was not schooled in design or architecture. She wasn't a high-powered business person. She wasn't even an activist. She was a mom and a former first-grade teacher. And she used to joke that she and one other woman were the two left in the room when the housing discussion was going on, and so they agreed to co-chair the housing committee. But you know what? In that way, she was called. She was called to service. She was a woman who was confronted with a need that could not, should not be ignored, and she stepped forward to see what she could do. So she began, along with the task force, to go out and see for herself what the need was for housing in the community. As they were visiting local properties, they came face to face with decrepit housing again and again and reported a severe housing shortage, especially for people with low income. And their final report, remember this was 1974, their final report was direct, and I'll quote, "As a Christian community, it is absolutely necessary that a mission program be developed to help. The poor in our community live in substandard housing, overcrowded and unsanitary conditions. Many of their physical and social problems are a direct result of their living conditions, and they're helpless to change anything." So the conclusion of the task force was that an organization should be established to address these needs. And Virginia stepped forward to lead that organization, and that organization is now Wesley Housing. So she founded Wesley Housing Development Corporation in a cardboard box in the back of her car. When we thought we reached the big time, the organization was housed in the basement at Farrellington United Methodist Church. So our roots with the United Methodist Church go back a long ways. Then we really grew up and we got a real office, and we've been in that same office space for at least the last 20 years. In the 38 years since our founding, we have built or acquired 24 rental communities and provided over 15,000 people with the dignity and security of a place to call home. But as I stand before you now, the problem still exists. There are families who are working maybe more than one job, but who can't find housing. There are families who may have a place to live, but they're paying 50% or more of their income just for rent. There's a lack of community support for people with chronic mental illness or substance abuse. And if you look at the budget reductions that are going on right now, both at the federal level, the state level, and the local level, We're facing significant reduction in public benefits for elderly, disabled people, and you know what, for those people who are just plain poor. We have a minimum wage structure that locks the working poor into poverty. And our economy seems to be built increasingly on those low-wage jobs that are temporary, seasonal, don't provide a lot of the benefits that some of us counted on when we were growing up. And there are more and more single-parent households with low incomes who are trapped in that cycle of poverty. A lack of affordable housing is a fundamental underpinning of these problems. There's a new way that we're looking at homelessness and housing now, and it's called Housing First. It used to be that, you know, people who were homeless would come into shelters and then maybe they'd be there for a while and then maybe they'd go into transitional housing, and if they did what they were supposed to do, maybe they could graduate from transitional housing and then get a permanent place to live of their very own. But what we're finding is people who are at risk, whether it's for purely economic reasons, for mental health reasons, for whatever reasons, if they don't have a safe and secure place to be, where they can go and be themselves, it's very hard to surround them with the rest of the services that they need to build a better life. So the way that we provide housing to those most in need is changing right now. You know, we talk about how we house the homeless, but there are probably more people out there who have a place to sleep at night. They're bunking with a relative, they move from friend to friend, or they live in really overcrowded conditions, but they still don't have their own safe place to call home. I want to give you a few statistics about the problem. In our region, every year there's a point-in-time survey that's done where nonprofits, government folks go out and they count the number of homeless people that they can find. This is done in Fairfax County, Arlington, Alexandria, really all over the state. D.C. does it. And since 2005, it's been interesting, since 2005 to now, homelessness in Fairfax County has increased almost 10%. However, since 2008, there's been a real decrease just in the last year or so because the county has taken some steps to put some special programs in place to help rehouse those folks who are becoming homeless. All that aside, though, 57% of the people who are homeless live in families. 60% or more of the people who are homeless are working. They have jobs, they just can't afford a place to live. The number of homeless individuals and families in Alexandria has increased by 3.1% since 2008. And the number of homeless families increased by over 18% in the last year alone. Why? Because as much as we all try to do, it's still not enough. You know, the economic problems that we're facing, the problems that have been around for the last 40 years, they're significant. So it takes all of us to try to work to ease the problem. Give you an example. Fair market rent for a one-bedroom apartment in the Washington metropolitan area is over $1,000 a month. Here in this neighborhood, a one-bedroom apartment is still over $900 a month. A single person making minimum wage would have to work in the range of 3.5 weeks to earn enough money just to cover the rent. That doesn't count utilities, food, medical care. If it's a single mother, what does that person do for child care? So because of the wealth of our region, the problems for those who are on the lower ends of the spectrum are even more severe. Recently, there's also been a lot of talk about the problems caused by poor, new entrants, people with mental health problems. You know, it's sort of like people don't want to have affordable housing in their neighborhood because they don't want to invite those elements in. There's the possibility of overcrowding, safe and unsanitary conditions. Well, I took a step back and looked at myself one day and I asked myself, okay, so where did my parents come from, and where did their parents come from? How many of you have ancestors who came to this country to have a better life for themselves and their children? You know, on my mom's side, they came from Sweden in the late 1800s and ended up, living in the Midwest. How many of them started out taking menial or dangerous jobs just to earn a living? For my family, they did menial jobs on the railroad and they worked in the lumber industry. How many of them lived in tenements or shacks because they were the only lodgings that they could afford when they first came to this country? Did they want to live that way? Did they want to raise their family that way? No, but it was the best that they could do. So as we look around our community now and we see people who are living in overcrowded conditions, unsafe conditions, do they want to live this way? No. Should we reach out to try to be a part of that solution? Yes. So Wesley Housing is trying to meet this need. As I said before, we've developed 24 properties. We currently own and operate 21 properties. We have 13 for families, and we operate in Fairfax County, Arlington, Alexandria, Manassas, so we're Northern Virginia-based. So 13 families for properties, we have 4 properties for seniors, and we have 4 properties for special needs populations, including severely disabled and those with HIV/AIDS. At our special needs properties and our larger family properties, we have on-site resident services, and we operate 3 community resource centers to support programs such as after-school help, English as a second language, computer literacy, job training, financial literacy so that people can learn how to budget so that they can stay housed. At our special needs housing, we make sure that they are linked to the services that they need so that they can maintain independent housing. And we try to have activities to help connect them to the community because it's easy for those communities to become isolated. Right now, this is something Janet and I have been talking about. She says, can you say anything? So this is a brief snapshot into our world. And when I come talk to churches like I do to you, I talk a lot about what we do on the resident services side because if we're going to build communities for people, yes, we provide them the housing, and that's the core of who Wesley Housing is. But we've learned that if you don't surround them with the services that they need to be successful, the housing is also not enough. But what we just talked about is the fact that there just isn't enough affordable housing. So right now, we're working on acquiring a property. It's called Mount Vernon Apartments. It's across from Rising Hope, and I know you minister to Rising Hope. Just to give you a feel for how hard this is, we've been working on this for more than a year. We are almost to the point of getting funding from the county to help us because in order for us to keep the rents as low as we need to be to serve the people who, some of whom are already living there and they're just terribly rent burdened, and some of the folks who need better places to live, we need government support, we need local support, we need a whole variety of financing to make this happen. So we've been working on it for a year. We've got it under contract, and you know, if all I need to do is find another $2.5 million, I'm not asking you for even a dollar today, much less $2.5 million, but all I need is another $2.5 million so that we can protect this property, we'll completely upgrade it, new energy systems, new windows, new landscaping, new community center, and protect it as part of the community for the next 40 years. So that's what we do at our core, and that's what we're trying to do here on the Route 1 corridor. We've been trying to find the right property on the Route 1 corridor to start to become a part of this community for a long, long time. So what I would ask is that you keep us in your prayers, because in a couple more months we'll know whether we'll be successful or not. And this is something that we as staff all want. My board of directors really wants this. We really believe it's the right thing to do, so we need a last push. So please keep us in our prayers. And we hope that if we can make this project work, that we can partner with you going forward to make it a success. I want to talk for just a minute about one of our residents. This gives you a feel for the kind of people who live in Wesley Housing properties and what we try to do to support them. Wexford Manor is a property that is kind of on the border between Annandale and Fairfax City. And a Wexford Manor resident, whose name is Kim, is working to complete her GED through a program offered through our Community Resource Center. She's a single mom with two kids. She's taking advantage of the on-site programs at the Wexford Manor Community Center so her 10-year-old son, her 8-year-old daughter, well, now she's got a 1-year-old baby, can have a better life. She says, I grew up in a family that on a very limited income, and I want more for my kids. Her son and daughters are participants in the programs offered at the center. Her son Mike gets really excited about wearing his collar shirt for the Becoming a Man program, where discussions cover topics like budgeting, etiquette, and Kim credits that Becoming a Man program and the one-on-one after-school homework help for Mike's increasing sense of calm and ability to pay attention in school. Kim's career aspirations include working with children or the elderly. To build her resume, she volunteers 3 days a week at the center, helping first and second graders and in the after-school program. She says she learns a lot from the children, and most importantly, her kids see her volunteering and working on her education. I just want a nice career and a bright future for my kids, she says. So those are the kinds of people that live at Wesley Housing Properties. Those are the kinds of people that we need to be ministering to through what we do in our communities. So, if we go back 38 years, Virginia Peters, she passed away. I'm the first leader of Wesley Housing who never got to know Virginia. But her vision remains the driving force behind what we do today. And I joke, she's like Marley in the corner of my office, and she keeps me honest. If I hear the change, then I know I'm wandering too far. But our work is evident in what we are doing now and what we aspire to do in the future for low and moderate income folks in Northern Virginia. Virginia said when she retired, "We're dedicated not just to bricks and mortar, but most importantly to people. Please never forget that." So just as Virginia was called in the early 70s, I was called in 2007 when I left Verizon and came to work for Wesley Housing. So how are you called? As a congregation, you're already in active ministry to the homeless through your support of Rising Hope and some of the other things you do. At Wesley Housing, we have opportunities, if you'd like to continue in mission and ministry to those in need. We have opportunities for giving throughout the year. We need school supplies in the fall. We do adopt a family we did it this year for almost 200 families at our properties, where, you know, these are folks who don't have enough to have a holiday celebration. But through working with individuals, corporate sponsors, Toys for Dots, we gave every single child who signed up 2 gifts this year. We need warm coats and mittens. So those are the kinds of things that we would love to be in ministry with you on going forward. One of the other things we do is we participate in Fannie Mae's Help the Homeless program. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Walk on the Mall that they used to do, and this year was the last year that they're going to do the National Walk. But we've been participating through what we call mini walks, where we partner with churches and schools, and we come in and sort of help organize a 20-minute walk or a mambo dance or a whatever, 20 minutes of activity, along with some education about homelessness and housing issues. And we would love to work with you on that as well. So as, again, I go back to Virginia Peters because, like I said, she keeps me honest. She said, social justice isn't giving people just enough to keep people in welfare captivity. It is providing enough support and opportunity to put people in the mainstream of life. And I'd like to close with Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. So thank you for the opportunity to be with you today.